WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Thursday morning. It's the day before Halloween, and oh my gosh, does it look like it outside. It just got very creepy outside. Everything has like a purple hue to it. You know, the sky is overcast. It's relatively warm. It's still 52 degrees, but, I guess the sun rising behind the clouds is creating this eerie effect. And everything just kind of looks purplish out there. It looks very spooky. It's perfect. It's perfect for October 30th, Devil's Night, as they say. The night when people go out and, well, they used to go out and cause trouble and play pranks. That's back before eggs and toilet paper were so expensive that nobody can afford to throw those at people's houses anymore. Now, if you really want to, you know, play a trick on somebody, you can just knock on their door and tell them you've got discounted eggs and toilet paper for them and then laugh at them when they think you're telling the truth. I don't know. I got nothing. So anyway, we're going to get spooky tonight in Sandwich at the Danny Webster Inn. There are still tickets available. You can still get involved in that, at least as far as I know, because they still have the link up and they didn't tell me they were sold out. So you can get those tickets at Daniel Webster Inn's website. Or you can go to Eventbrite and find them there. It's called Phantoms and Folklore. We're going to tell some ghost stories and then actually go and look for the ghosts of the Daniel Webster Inn. But we'll have a great time either way. You know, good food there, great drinks. I tried some Whistle Pig there last year when I was there for the first time. It was very good. So it'll be a great night. And then I'm going to be staying over the night because we're going to go till like 11, which means we're not really going to get done until like 11:30. And then I pack up and it's midnight. And rather than just drive home and try to get up in the morning to host the show, I'm just going to stay there and host the show from my room. So maybe you'll hear some ghosts in the background tomorrow morning for Halloween. And then I think I'm taking the rest of the day off tomorrow after the show and just going to hang around down there and just bum around. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I have no idea. Just going to take a day off. I never do that. So we'll see how that goes. But you'll still hear me on the show tomorrow. Don't get too excited. 508-996-0500. Although Mary says she's getting a busy signal when she tries to call in. Let me just do one of these. Just pick up the phone, hang it up again. See if we get... Yeah, we got a live line there. So you can try again. Maybe working now. And there's a story that I want to bring up. And it's funny that it's good to know that Mary's listening and she's trying to call in, because this story, Mary, when I saw it, I thought of you. So hopefully you can get through, because I know you're going to have something to say about this story. This comes from WPRI, our friends over Channel 12. A father and son from Norwood have won a combined $800,000 in prizes after playing mass cash. So Eugene Girard bought 8 tickets with the same 5 numbers at Pam's Market on Pleasant Street in Norwood. Those 5 numbers matched the ones selected in the drawing. So each ticket earned him a $100,000 prize. He gave one of his winning tickets to his son, Matthew. So Eugene told lottery officials he plans to use his winnings to buy a car, make home improvements, and add to his savings, while Matthew plans to buy a car and invest in his savings. So a father and son didn't really win the lottery. The father won the lottery. The father won mass cash. He's the one that bought the ticket. He just gave the ticket to his son. So his son, you know, I think people are going to hear about this and say, oh, well, like the lottery's definitely rigged. No, no. He just gave one of the winning tickets to his son. He's the one that won when he bought 8 tickets with the same 5 numbers. Which my guess is you buy that to give out those tickets so that if you win, everybody gets a piece and they don't have to come and ask you for money. Is that the rationale behind it? I mean, they're saying he won 8,000, you know, he's getting 700,000 and the son's getting 100,000. So he just held on to 7 of those tickets. What's the point? Why would you want to buy multiple tickets of the same number? Am I missing something here? Like if multiple people bought that and you have more of that share, yeah, maybe that makes sense. Yeah, I guess. So if many people played those same numbers and those numbers came in, if you had 8 of those tickets, you would get more of the share of, yeah, okay, so I guess it makes sense. But anyway, here's the kicker. Eugene Girard also won a $1 million prize by playing an instant ticket game back in 2008. And doesn't that always seem to be the way? It's always the people who win big once that end up winning big again. And people say, well, what are they doing? What are they doing that they can win a $1 million prize and then win an $800,000 prize? What are they doing that I'm not doing? Here's what I'm going to guess that he's doing that you're not doing. And I don't know Eugene Girard, and I'm not trying to impugn his character at all, but I'm going to guess that he's buying a lot more lottery tickets than you. And I'm going to guess that he still isn't ahead of the game. Even having won $1.8 million now. So, I there was a guy that came into the diner every morning, and he would go next door to the liquor store and get his scratch tickets, and he'd sit at the diner counter and scratch the tickets. The counters at Mill Pond Diner had a permanent silver stain in certain spots and worn down spots, not just from the elbows, but also where people would have, they'd put the scratch ticket down and they'd scratch it, and then it would scratch the formica underneath it. And you can still see like imprints of the silver from people getting it all over the counter. It just gets kind of baked in. That's somebody scratched. We used to sell scratch tickets there too, but this was after we stopped selling them. And so he would go next door and get his scratch tickets. And one time he won $1 million. When the scratch tickets first started having the $1 million prize. And I guess he took that money and took a little bit for himself, but gave the rest to his kids because he was old. He was in his 80s, I think, by this point, maybe late 70s. And then kept playing, won a $500,000 prize. I was like, man. Like, and it's just chance. You know, the people think that there's all this strategy involved in scratch tickets. Believe me, I heard all of your theories when I was a cashier selling those tickets at the diner. I heard all of your theories, which, by the way, I don't think I was old enough to be doing, but I was doing. I've heard all your theories. You know, we had Keno, and it was always wait until there's only a minute left to get your numbers in, because if you put your numbers in early, they know what your numbers are, and then they can rig it so that those numbers don't come in. That was somebody would come up to me like right as it was about to catch, and then they would yell at me if I wasn't fast enough to get it in. It's like, well, you waited to the last like 45 seconds. Yeah, because then they don't know my numbers. What? And then, of course, the most famous scratch ticket theory of all, what's the number on the back of that one? Because none of the winners are at the beginning of the book. None of the winners are at the end of the book. All the winners are in the middle of the book. That's not true. It's random. And then people had their theory, well, only the odd-numbered tickets are winners. Only the even-numbered tickets are winners. That's not true. I've heard all the theories over the years. It's just random. If there was a strategy to beating scratch tickets, somebody would have already figured it out, taken the lottery to the cleaners, and the lottery would have changed it. We had one cashier that worked with me who had this brilliant plan of she would open up the scratch ticket book, which there's like 300 tickets in a book. She would open up the scratch ticket book and scratch every scratch ticket in the book, which she would do during her entire shift. This is what she did. And then figured she would make at least enough money from the scratch ticket book to then pay for buying the scratch tickets. So she didn't pay for the scratch ticket. She just opened up the book, scratched it, and then hoped that she made enough money to pay it. Guess what? She didn't. Guess what else she didn't do? Pay for the scratch tickets. Guess how long she worked there? Surprisingly long after that, right? You would think she would get fired, but no, it was a whole thing. But that was her theory, was if I just scratch enough tickets, I'm going to get the money that I need to pay off the tickets, and then I can keep everything extra that I make. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. If it did, the lottery wouldn't be putting out scratch tickets. So, but anyway, congratulations to the Girards. Enjoy your new cars. I guess one of the things I would wonder is, like, does the dad get a better car than the son? Like, does the son go out and get something, and then the dad's like, oh, yeah, well, look what I got, because I had $800,000 and you only had $100,000. And does he say to him, yeah, I'm going to drive your car whenever I want it because I gave you that ticket. You wouldn't have it if it's not for me. Probably not. But, yeah, congratulations to them. And congratulations to everybody else that won $1 million 8 years ago, 20 years ago, and still is buying scratch tickets because you spent that $1 million. Right? Think about this, right? How often do we give away major prizes in the lottery, right? You see, if you go to the Mass Lottery website, there's people that win $1 million every day, win $1 million every week. There's people that win these giant jackpots in the national lottery contest. They win these giant billion-dollar jackpots, multi-billion-dollar jackpots. Now, of course, they don't get that exact amount of money. There's people that take the cash option, which is less. The taxes come out of it, all that kind of stuff. But if you think about it, for all the years we've had a lottery, right, shouldn't we have like a whole bunch of people who are millionaires and maybe even billionaires? And shouldn't those people have invested that money wisely and built themselves little businesses and, you know, but no. What happens when people get money? They spend money. They lose money. They don't have money anymore. Now, they might do something that helps themselves in the long term, like buy a car or pay off their house or whatever that might be, but they're not holding on to those winnings. They're not turning those winnings into something that is sustained wealth. I used to have these conversations all the time with Jose Matos when I used to produce the Money Matters show with him, where, you know, he would say, if you ever win the lottery, I should be your first call because, you know, why don't we hear about these people after they show them holding the lottery ticket with a big smile on their face? You never hear from them again. And that's because almost all of them lose the money. Most of the people that win on scratch tickets aren't people that just on a whim said, hey, I found an extra dollar on the ground. I think I'm going to go buy a scratch ticket with it. I never buy a scratch ticket. It's people who obsessively buy scratch tickets. They were already in the hole for their lifetime. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi, Tim.
How you doing?
I was just tuning in now. How'd you get on the scratch ticket thing?
There's a story from Channel 12 about a father and son that won $80,000. $800,000. The dad bought 8 tickets all with the same numbers, gave his son one of them, and so each ticket paid $100,000.
A scratch ticket?
Yeah. Mass cash. But I was talking about scratch tickets because I know a guy that won $1 million on a scratch ticket.
Oh. So this guy bought 8 mass cash and he picked his own numbers, or it was quick picks?
No, he must have picked his own numbers because he bought 8 tickets all with the same numbers.
Wow. That hardly ever happens, huh?
I guess. I don't pay enough attention, but I mean, they're writing news stories about it, so it must be pretty interesting.
So they won $800,000?
Yep.
Right? That's almost $1 million.
Well, the guy, the dad who bought the tickets already won $1 million back in 2008.
He's either lucky or he does it a lot, huh?
I would guess it's probably the latter. Yeah, I think he does it a lot.
Where are they from again?
Norwood.
Oh, it's always kind of up that way, isn't it?
No, we get a lot of local winners around here because Fun 107 will write articles about them sometimes. And if you look at the lottery site, we do get a good amount of big winners down this way.
I'm not that lucky with that. I don't buy scratch tickets very rarely, but my son all the time on my birthday or like Mother's Day, he gives me $50 worth and it's not worth it. I told him to stop doing it because there's only one time I won, I don't know, a few hundred. And then the last time was 100. That's not that good. You know what I mean? For all them tickets, $10 ones and sometimes the 20.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm scratching scratch tickets, it's usually, you know, because I bought something for $5 and, you know, I bought something that was $4 and I paid with a $5 and I got a $1 back and I might be like, yeah, just give me a $1 ticket. Like, that's my extent of scratch tickets. Although they came out with a Ghostbusters one this year, so I did buy $20 worth of Ghostbusters tickets to try those out. But
did you win?
I won $5, so no, I lost $15.
That's the one he gave me, the Ghostbusters. That's the one I hit on, 100.
What a confusing ticket.
I know it.
Thank God those lottery machines, you can just scan it and it tells you if you won or not.
Really? So if somebody that's an immigrant doesn't understand it and threw it away, maybe you can get lucky.
I think you could be a native-born American and not understand that ticket. It's very confusing.
But like you said, you can scan it now, so maybe they caught on to that.
Yeah, anyway. Well, we were at the bowling alley, so I got him out of the vending machine, and the vending machine has a little thing that if you scratch the code at the bottom and you hold it up, it tells you if the ticket won or not.
When do you bowl again?
Well, usually Thursday nights, but I'm not bowling tonight because I've got an event, so I'll be back next week.
Oh, that's right. What are you doing tonight again? It's
I'm in Sandwich.
Spooky something.
The Daniel Webster Inn, Phantoms and Folklore.
Oh, I love Daniel Webster Inn.
Great place.
I know, I haven't been there in so long. I got to get down there. You said there's like a little museum.
Yeah, I'll be doing the show from the Daniel Webster Inn tomorrow morning.
It used to be real nice, and then it got kind of shabby. Did they fix it up any?
Well, they had a fire a couple years ago, so they're still like recovering from some of that. So... But they've been upgrading things and redoing the kitchen because that's where the fire happened. So I haven't seen it since last year. So we'll see how it is.
You get to stay over too, right?
Yep, I'll be sleeping there tonight and doing the show from my room tomorrow morning.
Well, because you're doing it from the Daniel Webster Inn.
Yes.
Why they're promoting themselves with you?
No, they hired me to do a ghost event there. So I said, if I'm going to come and do that, I need a room because I've got to do my show in the morning and I don't want to come home at midnight and then get up at 4 a.m. So.
Oh, that's cool, huh?
Yeah. So.
Right. Where are you going to eat breakfast?
At the Daniel Webster Inn.
Very nice.
All right.
All right. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, I've got to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll have the news. And then on the other side of that, today's edition of the Gen X Files with your chance to win some free ice cream.
Come.
You're waking up with the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
The second interest rate cut in a row, death toll rising from Hurricane Melissa, and RFK Jr. announcing a new cost-saving drug plan.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The price of borrowing money is now cheaper due to an interest rate cut by the Federal Reserve. The Fed lowered the interest rates by a quarter percentage point yesterday. It marks the second straight interest rate cut. Benchmark rate is now in the range of 3.75 to 4%. The Fed's cut has trickle-down effect on consumers, lowering mortgages, credit cards, and auto loan interest rates. More than two dozen people are dead in the Caribbean due to Hurricane Melissa. That's according to multiple reports. Melissa brought heavy winds and rain to the Bahamas last night after slamming Cuba and Jamaica. Hurricane experts say it's the second strongest Atlantic hurricane in recorded history. Melissa's path expected to weaken while moving north towards Bermuda. The White House is announcing another plan meant to lower the cost of prescription drugs in the U.S.
This is a victory for patients, for innovation, and for common sense.
Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said the FDA will be making it easier for biosimilars to enter the U.S. markets, something Europe has been doing for decades. Biosimilars are drugs close to those that work and have already been approved by the FDA. Kennedy says that he's cutting the red tape and clinical trials that are necessary before these types of drugs can be sold in the U.S. A Democratic congressional candidate is facing federal charges after a protest outside of an immigration facility in the Chicago area. Kat Abu-Ghazaleh is accused of blocking an ICE agent's vehicle during a demonstration at the Broadview Complex. She's been charged with impeding a U.S. law enforcement officer and was indicted along with five other co-defendants. Abu-Ghazaleh is running for Congress in Illinois' 9th District and called the indictment an attack on our First Amendment rights. A man under arrest following the home invasion and rape of a 74-year-old woman in Suffolk County, New York.
Police say 29-year-old Jawarin Booker is responsible for the heinous act.
This is a crime that is really unspeakable. And this gentleman, Mr. Booker, is a poor excuse for a human being.
That's Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine. Police say Booker broke into the victim's apartment in Holbrook in the early morning hours through a window, pinned the woman down, and raped her before running off. DNA evidence and surveillance video led detectives to Booker, who was hiding in the Bronx during his arrest. Booker is now facing burglary and rape charges in the first degree. Jonathan O'Halloran, New York.
Chicago no longer has the dubious distinction of being the country's most rat-infested city. A study released by the Orkin Pest Control Company, giving Los Angeles the top spot this year. The change reportedly happened due to weather patterns, urban infrastructure, and human behavior. Chicago has held the title for the last 10 years and is currently now number two. New York comes in three, and San Francisco fourth. A sleep expert weighing in on how to get better sleep. This weekend may be a good time to change things up with the time change happening. Sleep specialist Dr. Nancy Fulvery with the Cleveland Clinic says it's important for our health to get enough rest.
When we're getting consistently under 7 hours every night, we put our bodies and brains at risk for a host of adverse medical consequences down the road. So we want to make sure we're not setting ourselves up to be chronically sleep deprived.
She says some tips to getting enough sleep and good sleep include keeping a constant routine, avoiding screens right before bed, and not eating or exercising before bed. There was no grand prize winner in Tuesday night's Mega Millions drawing, driving the jackpot up to at least $754 million. Next drawing is tomorrow, with the odds of striking it rich about 1 in 290 million. The list of the best cities in America to celebrate Halloween is out. The top five best cities to celebrate were New York, Jersey City, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Las Vegas, according to a new WalletHub study, which ranked 100 best cities in the country to celebrate Halloween based off of 20 different metrics. If you're wondering, Boston came in number 8. Those include the number of Halloween costume stores per capita, trick-or-treaters, friendliness, Halloween fun, and Halloween weather.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
Celtics beat the Cavaliers last night, 125-105. The Seas are in Philadelphia tomorrow. And the Bruins host the Buffalo Sabres tonight at the Garden. Face-off, 7 p.m.
Now, your WPRI 12 forecast, brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Cloudy today with scattered showers, then heavier rain arriving by evening. Increasing wind with a high near 60. Tonight, heavy rain and strong wind gusts. Localized street flooding. Temperatures in the upper 50s. Winds may gust up to 40 miles per hour. Partly to mostly cloudy, dry or very windy. Halloween Friday with a high near 60. For WBSM, I'm 12 News. Chief Meteorologist Tony Petrocca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And Stevie's Wine and Spirits has all kinds of spooky stuff for you over there, all kinds of Halloween-themed alcoholic beverages for you. So check it out. Check out their Instagram page. They've been sharing a bunch of it. I mean, everybody wants tequila in a skeleton bottle, right? Or the Harridan Vodka Paranormal Reserve Edition, actually aged in a haunted location. So you can check all that out and more at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. But right now, it is time for today's edition of the Gen X Files and your chance to win some ice cream as well.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll start with our celebrity birthdays. Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, and Starship singer Grace Slick is celebrating her 86th birthday today. The Fonz, Henry Winkler, is 80 years old today. Come on, I practiced that all night. Harry Hamlin of L.A. Law and Clash of the Titans turned 74. Actor and comedian Kevin Pollak is 68. Bush frontman Gavin Rossdale is 60. Canadian rapper Snow, I'd like to inform you, is 56. Actress Nia Long turns 55. Professional wrestler and actor Adam Copeland, also known as Edge, is 52. Glee star Matthew Morrison, 47. Ivanka Trump turns 44. And NBA baller Devin Booker is 29. On this date in 1974, the Rumble in the Jungle boxing match between Muhammad Ali and champion George Foreman took place in Zaire. Ali won by knockout, knocking Foreman down just before the end of the eighth round. On this date in 1982, Australian band Men at Work scored their first number one hit in the U.S., with Who Can It Be Now. In 1984, Linda Ronstadt debuted as a singer in the opera La Boheme in New York City. Also that same day, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA was released as a single. October 30th, 1987, NEC released the first 16-bit or fourth-generation video game console, the PC Engine, in Japan. It was later sold around the world under the name TurboGrafx-16. I bought one of those a few years ago with some Bonk's Adventure and Splatterhouse. What a great system. Now you can get it on emulators. In 1987, the U.S. Senate passed a bill to close a loophole in the 1909 Copyright Act.
And please welcome the four original members of Black Sabbath.
And it was on this date in 1998 that all four original members of Black Sabbath reunited to play Paranoid on Late Show with David Letterman. On October 30th, 2000, a new website was launched to help teach children basic physics. It was www.britneyspears.ac, and it featured the singer to illustrate mathematical equations. Visitors could access physics theories generously interspersed with photos of Britney Spears. In 2001, Michael Jackson released the album Invincible. In 2002, 37-year-old producer and DJ Jam Master Jay of the pioneering hip-hop group Run DMC was fatally shot at his New York City recording studio. I got some more Letterman here for you as well.
It's one of our favorites. I think, enjoys this song. We're happy to have it here live on the show tonight. It's Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner, Warren Zevon.
Also on this date in 2002, Warren Zevon was featured on The Late Show with David Letterman as the only guest for the entire hour, performing several songs and speaking about being diagnosed with inoperable lung cancer. And that's where my sign-off comes from, by the way. That episode of Late Show with David Letterman, when Letterman asked him about, you know, facing down death, dying of cancer, he said, what have you learned? And Zevon said, enjoy every sandwich. In 2003, the musical Wicked made its debut at the Gershwin Theater on Broadway on October 30th, 2003. And in 2007, the Eagles released Long Road Out of Eden, their first studio album in 28 years. That's the Gen X Files for October 30th, 2025, brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. This week, try the cereal milk French toast or the chicken Benedict. So, again, that was the final performance of Warren Zevon, was on that episode of Late Show with David Letterman. He was the guest for the entire show. So, here's my question. For your chance to win some free ice cream from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, you can win a free scoop or a cone if you know the answer to today's brain freeze question of the week. And it's going to be Warren Zevon related. Let me just make sure I got this here. Who helped launch Warren Zevon's career by recording several of his songs, by covering several of his songs? Who helped Warren Zevon gain mainstream recognition by recording several of his songs? He was one of those guys that had always been kind of the musician's musician, you know, your favorite musician's favorite musician, much like Sparks. So who recorded some of Warren Zevon's songs and helped him launch his solo career? 508-996-0500 if you know the answer, and you could be winning some free ice cream. And you know what would go good with that ice cream? A nice, thick, juicy steak from the butcher shop. 122 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. The butcher shop, I was just looking at the listing here and I read the 22, but it's 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. The butcher shop, a real old school neighborhood market where they've got a little bit of everything, but they've got a lot of great deals on prime quality meats. So stop by and see all that they offer, what they can cut for you exactly the way you want it to feed yourself or your family, but also what they can cook up for you as well. So, you know, tomorrow's Halloween. Maybe you don't want to cook dinner. You want to get something nice and hot, but you want to have a good homemade stick to your ribs kind of meal because you know you're going to be going outside and walking around doing the trick-or-treating. The butcher shop has you covered. Check them out. 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. And once you go in there, you're going to make it a weekly trip for you. And we'll, even though I'm going to be remote, I'm going to still try to connect with Eric tomorrow. I just got to see if he can give me a call as opposed to me calling him because I can't call out remotely. But anyway, let's take a break here. When we come back on the other side, maybe we'll have a winner. We got some people calling in, so maybe we'll have an ice cream winner or folks that just want to talk about something else. We'll be right back.
Wake up weekday mornings with the Tim Weisberg Show, 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM. Yeah.
Looking at the ceiling, someone lays a sheet across my chest. Something warm is flowing down my fingers. Pain is flowing.
Definitely one of the creepiest songs I've ever heard. Blood Rock's DOA. And, what a freaky song. Anyway, upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. And congratulations to Peter. He was the winner of our free scooper cone from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven because he knew the answer to our trivia question. Who helped launch Warren Zevon's solo career by recording several of his songs? It was Linda Ronstadt. Now, I think a lot of people know her Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. That's a Warren Zevon song. And if you're not familiar with Warren Zevon, familiarize yourself with him. Man was a fantastic musician, songwriter, lyricist. Anybody that can write a line with alliteration like "little old lady got mutilated late last night" is going to be my hero forever. That's my favorite line in any song ever. Because I do love alliteration. "Little old lady got mutilated late last night." Such a grisly thing that sounds so musical because of the alliteration. You're smiling as you say the line. "Little old lady got mutilated late last night." Anyway, I got to take a break here. Speaking of people getting mutilated, oh my gosh, that new show on HBO, It, Welcome to Derry. Fantastic first episode. The second episode, rather than waiting till Sunday, it's going to drop tomorrow as a Halloween treat, just so you know. It'll be tomorrow on HBO Max. Can't wait for that. All right, I got one more break I got to get in before the end of the hour. Let's do that. All right, stick around because coming up after the news, we are going to have joining us Leanne. She's the founder of the Buy Nothing Community Food Share South Coast Mass Facebook group, a group trying to help folks supply food and get food in the